Welcome to A Voice of a People here live with Linda Sims on WGH Talk. How you doing today? Boy, we have had some beautiful, chilling days. How you like it? Don't put your winter stuff away yet. I think we got a little ways to go. And not only that, just think Easter is a couple Sundays from now. So I hope it kind of warms up for that. But you know, when I was a little girl, I remember ice on the ground during Easter and you had on your little shoes. And remember little patent leather shoes and your little socks. And we were out there freezing, taking pictures. So I just kind of hope that it's going to be a better and warmer day for us this year. And our young people that, you know, we get all dressed up in our Easter bonnets and stuff, you know. Not only that, Easter egg hunt. Just think how cold it can be sometimes. Oh, well, let me share some other things with you. We do stream live on the web, www.wwgh1071.com, or you can download a free app on any electronic device and search WWGH in your search bar. The name of that app is called TuneIn, okay? If you would like to call in with any questions or make any comments, please call 740-383-9944. Just waiting to hear from you to be a part of our show, which makes our show a whole lot better. Now, I can also share with you some other things about people who support this show. And not only support this show, you support this show as well. Thank you so, so much for listening and being a part. And I thank each and every one who have called in and been a part of this show for the past couple weeks. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your devotion to the show. Now, along with you, we have Chappie's Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, of 1325 North Main Street. Phone there is 740-382-8552. We also have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Her number is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Their ongoing announcement is free produce will begin April the 20th. You only have one more month to go. And that starts at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Not only that, they have a wellness fitness campus area outside of their sanctuary, and it is open to the public. Just respect their property. It's really nice. I walk on it like two or three times a week. So what I don't like about it is 8 laps around for a mile. But if you walk there and do 4 laps and walk back home, I'd still get my mile in, right? Yeah, I like that. We also have Cheryl Lee. She is the coordinator for Child's Evangelism Fellowship, known as the Good News Club, which many of you have heard and have known about. Which is a faith-based after-school program located in all Marion City and County Elementary Schools, along with North Union's County Elementary Schools. Cheryl Lee can be contacted at 740-262-0939. And not only that, she is my guest today for both hours, and you can call her here today if you want to talk to her by calling 740-383-9944 if you have any questions for her. Okay, we're just moving right along today. Not bad Thursday, usually my Mondays, but not bad. My thought for today is titled, Resent Not. Now, what in the world could that mean? There are no justified resentments. So if you think you're being justifiable because you resent somebody, this is saying there are no justified resentments. To resent someone is to fall under the illusion that they are the cause of our suffering. No one can die from a snake bite. It's the poison that kills them. You may receive the poison of another's words or even just in a glance, but you don't have to absorb it or allow it free passage through the veins of your consciousness. The consequence of not absorbing the poison of others is you never experience enmity towards others, and people notice when you have absolutely no enmity. It draws them close. It empowers them. It builds trust. It enables harmony to break out. It is only because the lion has no thought of killing the lamb, that the lamb feels able to come so close. Wow, and that could be deceiving. The lion could be just quiet, waiting on it to come close, and then, roar, right, too late.
In today's times, but when Christ comes back and establishes his kingdom on earth, the lion will lay with the lamb.
Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's great. That was Cheryl Lee that you heard. How you doing, Cheryl Lee, today?
I'm doing fine, Linda.
Great.
Thank you so much for inviting me back.
Of course.
It's good to have. It's always good to come chat with you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I relish it as well all the time. I really do. I do. Mm-hmm. So.
And I want to congratulate you.
Oh, gosh.
On your accomplishment. With Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, to God be the glory.
But that was fun to hear about. I wasn't there to see it, but it was fun to hear about. And I haven't gone on YouTube yet to check it out, but I need to do that.
Oh.
I don't know if it's on YouTube, but I'll
it may
go
be.
On the Ladies Club and check it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thumbs up to you.
Oh, my God. I felt like I weighed 2 tons. But like I said, to God be the glory. It had to be all him, because it certainly wasn't all me, I tell you. Oh, my. Now, in my younger days, oh, yeah, I probably would have danced circles around my instructor, but it's a whole different ball game, right?
That's right. We're in a different phase of life, Linda, dear.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. But it's still good.
Yes,
still
it is.
Still good. Yes.
Very much so. Very much so. You know, you were talking about Easter with the Easter eggs and the bonnets and the baskets and things like that. And I do remember, as a child, Easter's there where we would go outside and Mom and Dad would put the basket behind a tree or whatever. But it was warm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as our children were growing, more of the Easters were chilly.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because we were older and it bothered us.
Right.
But, you know, like I remember having our kids wrapped up in their winter coats and stuff like this, going out and having an Easter egg in Mom and Dad's backyard.
Right.
That type of thing. And then we'd always get together as family and potluck dinner and stuff. So Easter has a lot of good memories. But this week, as I was, we were wrapping up for our final club meeting at Elgin, only because it's going right into their spring break.
Oh, so you're finished already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just in that school. Some schools are going through April.
Okay.
But we chose to close up this week because that finished up our series
okay.
that we were working with. And so Tuesday we had our club was our final club, and we were talking to the kids about Easter,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we had finished up our series. And so we were talking about the kids to Easter. I really wanted them to understand there's two Easters. They're like, two Easters? I said, yeah. I said, because you've got the Easter that is the true meaning that many people do not know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, and then you have the fun Easter with the Easter egg hunts. You know, because if you asked a child, the first thing they say is Easter egg hunt.
Right.
You know, and I said, and you've got the chocolate bunnies and the baskets of candy.
Right, jelly beans and all that, outfit. Yeah.
And I don't even know how many kids get new outfits at Easter anymore either, because new outfits meant going to church.
It sure did, your little bonnets and everything.
So many don't go to church now, so I think the new Easter outfit has gone to the wayside, you know, pretty
Could
much.
Could be.
But getting together with dinner
right.
or family, that's what the kids were reciting. And so I explained to them the difference between the real reason for Easter is that we have sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23.
Right.
And, you know, I'm sure every denomination can understand that and agree with that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they do.
Okay, so then, and God loved us so much, John 3:16, that he supplied a plan, a redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole Testament is talking about how God is training his people and preparing them so that the redeemer could come through their line, so that we could be forgiven of our sins.
Mm-hmm.
And that And that is because Jesus died on the cross. So, of course, then that opens up a whole lot of questions.
Yes, it does.
To the clubbers. But, you know, we've been talking about that in different aspects throughout the year. And so, you know, you pull up the lesson, or you remind them of the lessons and how that applied and things of this sort. And they all had an understanding that without Jesus, there would have been and is no Easter.
Oh, and, yes, and so, absolutely. It would not be.
That's exactly right. And so, and I was very pleased. One of our little clubbers, a young man, he says, "So, is Good Friday when he died?" And I said, "Yes." I said, "That's when that indicates, or that's the day that he died." Mm-hmm. And he was put into a tomb.
Right.
And then they said, "Oh, so Easter's when he rose."
I mean, you know. It clicked, right?
That is clicking for them. Yeah, for some of them anyways. And we've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and about how Jesus says in John, you know, 14:6, I believe it is, "I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm.
No man comes to the Father but by me."
Right.
And so he put himself in this position so
yes,
that
did.
We could have life with him and the Father one day.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then that leads into the conversation of imagine heaven and
yes.
earth with no sin. You know, that, and that is, I am a woman of 65,
mm-hmm.
and I have worked very hard getting that old. So I'm not ashamed.
I'm sure.
But the thing is, I still have trouble with wrapping that my mind.
Oh, it's impossible for us to do that.
What heaven's going to be like, what earth is going to be like without sin.
We have no clue.
And I praise Jesus Christ. I
right.
praise him
right.
for dying on that cross mm-hmm. so that we could be part, adopted into God's family.
Right. You know. What does Paul say? We have no idea. We can't even imagine or think about what God has set apart, separated for us to enjoy when we go to heaven. Like,
absolutely.
No clue.
And, you know, even though I love God, there are times when I'm like, oh, you know, I don't want to go to the club, or, oh.
Well, that's just the human part.
I don't want to go to the, you know, to yeah. the church. Or, but in heaven, we're not going to have any of that to battle
oh,
with.
Oh, no, we won't.
We are going to be praising God and giving him the glory for all things without the least bit of grudge.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
That is cool.
So going back to the second Easter, and we were talking to the children about, you know, just the different traditions that they do and stuff like
yes.
this. And I assured them, I said, you know, none of that is wrong. That's the fun part.
Right.
I said, but you know who brought all that about? And they're like, God? I'm like, no, the devil.
Right, the other part.
Even
right.
though an Easter egg is so innocent,
mm-hmm.
and it conjures up the best childhood memories.
Yes.
Or mother's memories, or our grandmother's memories.
Right.
Watching the children run around, you know, and pick those up.
Right.
And having them go through their Easter basket, you know, and stuff like that. Or just having the family in.
Mm-hmm.
Those are great
dinner
memories.
And stuff, yes, yes.
But it also takes us away from church.
The real meaning.
The real yes. meaning.
Yes.
Because how many women are preparing an Easter dinner rather than going to church?
But you know what? That is the most frequent
it
attendance.
Is. It's it is.
Easter and Christmas
mm-hmm.
that people come to church. But even that's getting kind of slim.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Because we're putting the, you know, the fun Easter before the real Easter.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I assured the kids, I said, none of that is wrong in itself. But Satan brought these things in to lure us away
from the real meaning.
From the real meaning, because he doesn't want all of us to learn that we sin and we need a Savior.
Right.
He has covered it with the bling of the Easter egg.
Oh, yeah.
The glitz of the holiday.
Right.
you know, and even though...
And your admiration he's stolen.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That is exactly right.
You know, we don't... They don't... It takes away the awe of what God did, you know.
Exactly. And even as a child who did not go to church regularly...
Right.
There was an awe. And I'm glad that you pointed that out, because there was an awe about Easter.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
There was that respect for God.
Everyone had an Easter piece, like a scripture or something, to remember and get up and recite. You know, that was a whole separate program. Sometime it would be after, you know, an evening service or something like that. But it was just something that I really looked forward to, and learning my piece. And, you know, the older you get, the bigger they are, you know. It, like you said, it was an added plus, and it put more emphasis on the real reason.
Exactly. Exactly.
On the real reason. So it's not like that was put aside. It was still a part of that day.
That's right.
Yeah.
Or sunrise service.
Or sunrise service, yeah.
You know, getting up at the crack of dawn to go to...
I've only done it once.
I did as a young person. And now it's just like...
I know. Once I did it. Maybe 4 or 5 years ago I did it. Just once.
I don't know if there's many churches that offer a sunrise service
I think Pastor Jackie Peterson's church is going to have one. I think she had a advertisement on Facebook that they will be having one. And it starts at 6. That means you got to get 4:35, like me, getting ready.
Or
trying
like
to.
Me with my Phyllis Diller hairstyle. I just throw on my clothes and go. I mean, come on, Linda. Live a little.
Okay. They be so dressed up. Big hats. I mean, it's just... Woo, do I even have a big hat? No. I don't have all that. I have some hats, though, but I'm like...
Yeah.
Summer, I mean, that Easter. It's just something about it. It brings out all the beautiful colors of spring and... You know,
it's
really
a new
does.
Beginning.
It's a new
See,
beginning.
See, Easter, Christ dying on the cross for our sins.
Right.
And then being buried and then rising that third day, it's a new beginning.
Right.
That's what Easter is all about. And when we accept Jesus Christ and trust him that he is God's son, that he died on the cross because he loved his father most of all, because he was obedient until death.
Right.
And because he loved us.
Yes.
He came from heaven to earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that we all have sinned. And we have sinned. Our hearts are dark. And until we ask Jesus to come in and scrub that away, we are separated.
Yes.
You know, we are living in darkness. Even if we are the most moral person, we are living in darkness, and we will be separated and subject to hell without asking Christ to forgive us of our sin.
Yeah, we were born with a sin nature.
Exactly.
So we came here that way.
Exactly.
We don't want to leave here that way, though.
No, we don't.
That's the choice we have.
And we trust that Jesus rose again, that he rose from the dead, because that is our redemption right there.
Right,
you know,
there.
It is the resurrection that he... And when we trust that, and we believe that, and we ask Christ to forgive us of our sins, it's done.
It's done. Done deal.
It's a done deal, as long as our hearts are humble. And we're being honest. We're not doing it for anyone else. We're not doing it because Mrs. Lee at the Good News Club has explained it to the kids. You know, we're not doing it because Grandma...
Right.
Doing devotions, you know, we're doing it.
That's so true. It's an individual.
It is. It is.
Sacrifice.
It is.
You know.
And in club, you know, when we're talking to the kids about walking through a prayer of salvation, I share with them how to walk through a prayer, but we make it very plain to them that this is your biggest decision you'll ever make in life.
Oh, yes.
And it has to be done by you.
Right.
You know, and it's not because we want you to. You know, God wants you to someday. But it has to be because you're ready.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and oh, my goodness, these little ones. They're just amazing. I don't know. Did I share with you the last time we were here about my grandson who's 7 who asked Jesus into his heart?
I don't know if you did or not.
Okay. Well, this is an appropriate time. We're hit and miss with our devotions when they come out on the weekends, and I was using, we were doing the story of Esther, because Esther was one of the stories we did at CEF,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, you know what, I might as well start using that information
for my kids.
Might
as well, yes.
And so and they were amazed with the charts and stuff like this, because Evan, who's 12 now, he has outgrown, he's in middle school. But the 7-year-old...
Already he's 12?
Yes, he just turned 12 on Tuesday.
Mm.
And so the 7-year-old, he is in first grade, and he didn't start into Good News Club because he's a little more bashful last year past kindergarten, and he didn't this year. So he assures me he's going to do it next year.
Wow.
Yeah, because his youngest brother will be in kindergarten, so they'll be having each other to go to Good News Club. Well, I'm saying all this because they've not seen the materials that are used in a Good News Club, right?
Right.
And or they've not been taught by it. They see it laying around the house all the time. So I'm sharing.
That's just your stuff. That's just grandma's stuff that she does at the school. That's not for us.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's pretty much. So I'm sharing it with them, and I'm sharing the story of Haman and Mordecai and explaining the sin and stuff like this, which they're aware of and things. But all of a sudden I hear under my 7-year-old's grandson's voice, I don't want that.
Really?
I don't want that to happen to me.
Which part?
Well, we obviously were talking about sin.
Right.
And, you know, how sin separates us from God.
Right.
Because John Evangelism Fellowship, the Good News Club, they go ahead and they tell the biblical story.
Right.
And then they will pull out how we all have sinned.
Right.
You know, and they explain that. And then they go back into the story when it's appropriate.
Right.
And they walk you through and then how we have to be forgiven, and, you know, it goes through the different stages. So I'm not sure what part that of the story I was sharing.
That he said he didn't want that to happen to him, right?
But it caught him.
Okay.
It caught his attention. So then I'm going on with the story and things like that, sharing it with them. And the next thing I know, because he was on the carpet floor, so now he's on the couch. And he's bashful. He's got a tender heart.
Mm-hmm.
And his back is towards us, and he's facing the back of the couch. And I'm thinking, did the boys pick on him? You know, did they jab him? And they weren't really talking, so I thought, what was said that could have offended him?
Mm-hmm.
He gets bashful, and he'll kind of go off.
Right.
Like a lot of little ones do. Well, I said, Chris, I said, honey, I said, why don't you turn around and just, that way you can see the pictures and I, you know, follow along with the story.
Right.
Well, the next thing I know, I'm going about the story, and next thing I know, he is laying on his back with his hands crossed.
Mm-hmm.
Across his chest, his hands are folded, across his chest, and his eyes are shut. And I just let him be.
Mm-hmm.
So before our devotion is done, now mind you, all of this is happening in probably about 15 minutes, maybe 20 minutes, you know, at the most. But he's back on the floor again, and it was an appropriate time because we're talking about how, you know, eventually everyone has to ask Jesus into their hearts or they're separated from God forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and just like you, Chris, I said, you just asked Jesus into your heart, didn't you? And he just gives me this smile. I said, I thought so. And I said, and I'm so happy that you chose to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And Calvin, my husband, wasn't there at the time. So I told him, I said, when Grandpa gets home, you let Grandpa know what you did.
Right.
I said, he will be so pleased. And so Calvin, we say our prayer and stuff like this, and the boys go off playing. And our German Shepherd normally sounds off. No matter who's coming into the drive, he normally sounds off.
Right.
He didn't. And Calvin comes into the house and like, oh, Grandpa, you're home. I did not even hear you. You're home already. Loud enough so that Chris could hear it. And he came out without any hesitation. And he told his grandfather what he had done.
Oh, my.
Isn't that cool?
Yes, that's really cool.
And what was the biggest blessing of this, Linda, was the fact that he did it on his own without any prompting from Grandma. It was something that God finally spoke to him.
Yes.
And he heard it.
Yes.
And so when we were going to church, we always have the boys on the weekends, so we take them to church with us. And we go to Grace Baptist on Route 4. And I told Chris, I said, we're at church. I said, Chris, I said, when we go out to shake the pastor's hand, I said, let him know what you did. He would be so excited. And so I had to go forward, and I had to speak to some of the women. And so they're in the line, and I see him shaking Pastor's hand. And the next thing I know, I see Pastor has excused himself from the line, and he's leaning over Chris. And Chris is telling him what he did. And the next word I hear is, well, now we'll have to see about baptism.
That is wonderful. That is wonderful.
It is. So.
And he's excited about it. And he should be excited about
it.
And that's what I appreciate about you. It was such good news that you want to tell everyone. And you support him with that.
Oh, absolutely.
So he's not going to be shy, you know.
No, he's not.
Wow.
Now, he has talked about being baptized on his own a couple of times.
Okay.
And even this past week or so, I think it was maybe 2 weeks ago, he had mentioned, he says, I want to be baptized. I'm like, well, then we need to talk to Pastor about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to talk to Pastor about it.
Wow.
And he understands what baptism is.
Now, how old is he?
He's seven.
Seven.
Because we had a little boy who was, I think, five. And you couldn't even see him. You could not even see his head over the baptismal, you know. Pastor had to hold him up. But the kids understand.
Right.
They understand what it is, you know, and stuff
that's
like that.
Great.
So they
wow.
had a visual. So
that's great.
Now, in the summertime, down in Waverly, Ohio, we have a camper. And we go down there and we attend a church down there, too. They will take their people and baptize them in the creek.
Yeah.
So I asked Chris, I said, do you want to be baptized here at our church, or do you want to go down to Waverly and be baptized in the river, in the creek? And he wants to be here.
Okay. It's a lot of water out there. He's probably thinking, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's okay. So we'll be looking forward to that. You know, maybe by the next time we talk or whatever, I don't know.
That's true. Oh, that's so great. That's such good news.
It is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Praise God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, quiet enough where God has spoken to his heart. And he understands.
Mm-hmm.
And he understands what God wanted from him.
And it just made my heart sing.
I'm sure.
Because he did it on his own.
Oh, my.
You know, it just made my heart sing. Because, you know, as a young person like that, as a child, they have all their life ahead of them. They have all those temptations ahead of them. So when they have made that choice to love the Lord on their own, I think that their standing is stronger because it was their choice,
right.
You know, and stuff like that. In the club, in our clubs, I would say probably about half of the children, I don't know if even half go to church, but half of them, when I asked them, had any of them ever asked Jesus into their hearts and they're, you know, asking Jesus to forgive them their sins, about half of them have raised their hands, you
mm-hmm.
know, and I know that the kids who raise their hands, several of them, you know, go to church and so you're always concerned about all of them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we're just, and that's where prayer warriors come in handy. Because, you know, as a prayer warrior, you don't need to know the kids who are in clubs.
No, you don't.
But if you just pray that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, would be in that club, and would be directing these kids.
Right.
And that God would put a hedge of safety around each one of them.
Right.
Until, if they are believers, we want that hedge of safety to be around them for sure.
Of course.
Because Satan is going to try to lure them away in the worst possible ways of temptation. If they aren't believers, we want that hedge of safety around them so that the world can be blocked away from them and they can hear God's voice drawing them to himself.
Right.
You know, and we always want to have that hedge of safety around the leadership, because CEF has wonderful teaching, but recently I found a couple of errors. So, you know, we have to be careful, even as Christian teachers.
That's true.
We really have to be. And you know, you and I talked about how Child Evangelism Fellowship, CEF, they recommend that a teacher goes to God's Word and read the lesson.
That's true. That's true.
Two or three times before they go to
the textbook,
the teacher's guide.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and if I didn't follow that procedure, then I probably would not pick up on these slight
discrepancies. Yeah, and I think it has to do with the version, where there's the King James, NIV. Some omit, some, you know, I don't know, just the Message Bible. There's so many, and I think they're growing fast, and I don't know if they're coming further away from the King James Bible or who's ever interpreting. Then you have other people who writing their Bibles and putting in their notes and stuff, you know. So just like that Digg Bible. Now Joyce Myers has a Bible, and Kenneth Copeland has a Bible, and you know what I'm saying? So everyone has a they're beginning to publish these new Bibles out. So what is that telling us? Are we depending on man's Bible that he has written and what his commentary is and not depending on the Lord to give us his commentary, you know?
Exactly, to teach us.
Right.
And, you know, that's one thing, too. Like, before I'm sitting down and doing my devotions, I'm just like, Lord, show me, teach me.
Right.
You know, anything that I have learned in the past that's wrong, show me the truth.
Right.
You know, and give me a discerning spirit. And I've also, and my goodness, Linda, I'm reading the Bible through again. And when I'm reading the Bible through again, I'm always skipping something because of time restraint or whatever,
course,
right?
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, I'm reading some parts of the Bible, and I'm like, where was I on that last year? You know?
Don't even remember reading it, or?
Exactly.
I know.
I'm like, my goodness. So I've been writing down in a tablet things that I have never even seen before or whatever, you know?
Right.
I'm just writing them down, and I'm putting them in like a question form. And then putting the scripture, because that's the answer of. And that's been fun too, because it sticks with you longer.
I'm sure it does.
You know, so anything to get this old brain clicking.
You know, if we could remember every word of God's word that we read, we would be beyond a genius. And it's just not possible.
Mm-mm.
You know, you can read a passage or a scripture all your life. Leave it for like 2 or 3 days or maybe a month or so and go back to it. There's going to be something you didn't even realize was there. Like, what?
That's right.
That wasn't there. You know, but it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that's saying about our Lord?
He's alive.
He is alive.
He's alive. And, you know, he is just explaining to the kids. I teach two clubs. Explain to the children about how awesome he is. You know, because God is only bound by limits that we put on him.
Right.
It is our limitation that limits his power in our life. So God is just out there. He's everything.
Right.
And we can't even, again, when you try to visualize God, how do you visualize him?
I don't know.
When I
as a person, I don't.
See, I don't ever visualize him as a person. I visualize him as like this, I don't know, this just cloud of color. You know.
That's good.
And it's just like there's no shape to it or anything. It's just, bam, he's out there.
Right, right, know? Right.
And I mean, it is so amazing. It's like, of course, that's why he says, don't make any graven images, because so a 6-inch image is supposed to be God. Yeah, right. You know? Yeah, yeah. Or even like Nebuchadnezzar's. Was it Nebuchadnezzar's with the furnace? Yeah. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yeah. And you know, like...
And he had a statue.
And he had a 90-foot statue.
Yeah.
But even if that 90-foot statue was supposed to represent God rather than himself, that would have... You know, nothing that we have ever built...
Nothing.
Justifies.
Comes close.
That's exactly right. We just can't even imagine. And that's because we're still here, confined in our... In our sinful flesh.
Oh yeah, and our infinite mind, our little teeny weeny minds.
And when we were trying to get and I was telling the kids, I explained to him that, you know, about how big he is, and then they start throwing out their thoughts and their words on how awesome he is and how big he is and stuff. But that's the way we've got to think. I mean, that's the way we've got to train our kids.
Yeah.
Is that God is so big that we can't even imagine.
Right. That's so true. And you know, the Bible says, no man has seen, nor can see.
Exactly.
Nor approach him, you know. And people say, why you say that? Because God is a spirit. He's a spirit. And you can't really see a spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's his deity form, a spirit. So, I don't know. I certainly don't see him as, like you said, a man or somebody I can look at, so, oh, he looks like God, or he reminds me of God, but no, haven't seen that yet. And I try to imagine what David looked like. He was probably handsome, though, the way that the Bible describes him, right? But he was a small man, though. I don't think he was a big guy. Then I've heard that Samson that the strongest man? All right, he was a little teeny weeny man, so... I didn't think so either. What, you know?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I don't either.
But Sam, I mean, God blessed him.
With strength, yes.
With strength and stuff like that. And obviously pretty hair.
Yes, beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Seven locks, you know. And the things that God has done, he said we can't understand his ways.
Now, also, remember that the women... that God focused on, Sarah, she was beautiful.
Yes.
And the Bible says she was beautiful.
Yes.
Esther.
Yes.
Was beautiful.
Yes, she was.
And
I think, you know, Ruth was too.
Ruth was. I mean, all of these women that, Rachel, you know, they were beautiful women.
Yes, they were.
And it wasn't because, now Esther would be because she was beautiful inside and out.
Right.
Sarah had a little bit of trickster in her.
Yeah, but she was knocked down gorgeous, though.
Yes.
All the
she
men
was.
Wanted her.
Yeah. And
to the point that Abraham was jealous for her to even be around another man.
Yeah. So when the Bible says these women were beautiful, it was a physical beauty that they had. Where, you know, nowadays people say, well, you know, she's got a great personality, you know, that type of thing. And then when you get to know somebody, it is their personality that makes them beautiful.
That's so true.
You know, that type of thing. So, I don't know. I think that when God gives us our spiritual bodies, when he transforms us, we will be a very beautiful people.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yes.
We will be a very beautiful people.
And we will resemble ourselves. I believe that. Resemblance.
So there's, and see, that's just, that's, there's just so much we don't know. That's called faith.
Yes.
That's called faith. That's called trust.
So much we don't know. Absolutely.
Trusting.
We're trying to learn every day new things, you know.
Yep.
I'm trying to get back into my devotions. And like you said, it's just like you haven't read it before. Just like new. But that is, I think that's the joy of it. You know, like, wow, I forgot about this and I forgot about that. You know, did
I
know that?
I'll
yeah, did I ever know it?
Where was that?
Right. Right. But hey, that's how it is. So next hour, we will talk about your silent auction, which we haven't shared that either.
It was so much fun.
I bet it was.
It was so much fun.
Just think, that was, what, 4 Saturdays ago already?
Already?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, coming up close. It was the 2nd of March. So we had a goal of to raise $15,000. And we fell shy of that by 1,800. So if any,
oh, that was a pretty good run, though.
I'm pleased. I'm pleased. But I have until the end of the month, if anyone would like to give,
right?
You know, would like to send a check, they can send it to me. And the reason why I ask they send it to me is so I can keep a tally of everything.
Right.
And my address is, and you just make the check out to CEF. It's the abbreviations for Child Evangelism Fellowship, and just address it to CEF Cheryl Lee, Cheryl Lee, at 6635 Ground Hog Pike, Leroux, 43332. And we can give that address out.
Okay, next hour.
Next time, but
yes.
I just want people to be prepared to, you know, get a piece of paper and a pen. Or a pencil, and then we can give that information out again. But it would be fun. It would be fun to reach that 15,000. But I was ecstatic to get 13,100.
I know you were. That broke the scale because you were already hovering between 10 and 12 anyway.
Yes.
Then to get to the 13, that's another level.
Great.
I'm happy that happened, but wow. Couldn't do all that stuff. That was the day that I danced as well. It took 3 people to get me in my dress, at least. 3 or 4. My daughter came home from Worcester, and Mother Cree came home from Copley, and my daughter that lives here, Daisy. One was on my hair, and one was on my face doing my makeup, so... It was a time. It really was.
It was a family event.
It was a family event. You know, I'm thinking, this is why I had 4 daughters, right? These are the times that you appreciate them, you know. So, yeah.
How fun, Linda. How fun.
It was. And they were there for me.
Uh-huh.
I appreciated it. You know, I just didn't want them screaming so loud because I have one daughter whose voice is super exceed everybody else's, okay?
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
And I didn't want her to distract me from what I was doing, you know. So she was pretty decent. She was pretty nice.
Well, good.
I appreciated that, yeah.
Until after the fact, right?
Yeah. She.
Oh, Linda, that's pretty fun.
It was.
Really exciting.
Uh-huh. It was. Mm-hmm. And I had some people that I have, you know, support as well.
Mm-hmm.
Peace and Freedom Foundation. She puts on the Martin Luther King breakfast every year. And she was there, and her president was there.
Fun.
So they were there to support me. And 2 of the ladies that I walk with, they were there to support me. That's why. And my brother and his wife came.
Oh, where did they have to come? I mean, did they live locally?
Yeah, they live locally,
okay.
But they were there.
Because I know at 4th of July, when you have your family reunion, they come in from everywhere.
Yes, they do. Yeah, so my brother was there. He was so proud of me. I was so proud to have him there, you know.
Yes.
He said, but he had told me this months ago, if I come, you better win. I thought, yeah, right. I'm like, well, whether I win or not, just come, you know. And they did. And lo and behold, I won. So
he was your good luck charm?
He must
have
been.
If you believe in luck.
Yeah. along with the Lord, right?
Absolutely.
Holding me up. Because I felt my knees buckle. The first couple that went up, we were the fourth. First couple that went up, my knees buckled. And I start like gasping for air, right? So I went to sit down and took deep breaths and stuff. And Lord settled my spirit now, you know. Because I was peaceful up until then.
Right.
But now, it's close to time to get up there and do your thing, So I was pretty good until then we went up. It was our turn. My partner have held me up, too, because we walked together. I'm thinking, it was so crowded in that place. Mm-hmm. You couldn't even hardly walk and do what you had to do, but I made it.
That's so much fun to hear. It is just, I am like sitting here grinning ear to ear, just living through your episode. Enjoying every second that you're talking about it. It's fun. Now, did they make their goal for the referred?
I think they raised $80,000.
Good. Is that enough for what they have?
I think they were pushing for 50.
Wow, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was mm-hmm. nice, and it was an honor, to even be asked,
right?
To be a part of something like that,
right?
Because it was big, and I know there were over 200 people there. Had to be.
Oh sure.
Yeah, standing and sitting, and it was just a beautiful evening. Well, this is the end of our first hour. Stay around until 11:15 if you can't. God bless and have a blessed weekend. But Shirley will be my guest at the next hour. Till next time, be blessed. Linda Sims, the voice of a people, over and out. Thank you.